Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, September the 6th. I know a young woman who, when she was still in high school, was diagnosed, this was about 10 years ago, with bipolar disorder. She was medicated, but was taken off that particular medication, and different doctors did offer different treatments and diagnoses for her. I've lost touch with her, but I do remember the struggle that she and her family went through over a period of years. I also have more than a few friends with youngsters in their families, nieces and nephews, who have been diagnosed as bipolar. And I have a relative who is searching for an answer for her son, college age, who is struggling with mental health issues that could be bipolar disorder. So I was very interested in a story in the New York Times on Tuesday reporting the results of a recent study finding the number of young people diagnosed with bipolar disorder has increased 40 times in the last dozen years or so, from 1994 to 2003, from 20,000 cases to about 800,000 cases, according to a National Center for Health Statistics survey of office visits that focused on doctors in private or group practices. The story wondered if the numbers have really increased that much, or if bipolar disorder was being overdiagnosed with young people. We will talk about bipolar disorder this hour, especially among young people, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest expert. Why are we seeing a jump in the diagnosis of this condition? How is this affecting treatment? Are there any promising new treatments for young people with bipolar disorder? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send your question or comment via email, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Dr. Hugh Johnston, a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He has a joint appointment in educational psychiatry. He is conducting an educational program all day on October 22nd at the Pyle Center on the UW-Madison campus that is on bipolar disorder in youth. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Now, I personally, as I just mentioned, know a number of families who have been touched by this condition, perhaps disrupted by a young person who has bipolar disease, and apparently I'm not alone.
Well, that's clear you're not.
Yeah. Is it really up 40-fold in the last dozen years or so?
Well, it depends. I hate to sound like that famous president, but it does depend on what is.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly, gave us an accurate, accounting of the story, which was based on a recent research article published in the research literature. And specifically, yes, the rate of diagnosis has gone up. And the real question has the rate of disease states gone up? And I think most experts, certainly myself, believe that that's not the case. That, in other words, if you look at the population of children 10 years ago and you look at the population of children today, they're suffering from these kinds of problems at about the same rate. But what has changed is the frequency with which the diagnosis is applied. And that's an important distinction. Reading articles like this in the paper can give you the impression that an epidemic is sweeping across the country and that rates are truly rising. But instead, it's really the rate of diagnosis that's rising.
Yeah, because doctors are more aware of this, looking for this?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. And I think one of the main reasons is that we do indeed have more effective treatments. And another reason that's important to bear in mind is that this is a disorder that's not categorical. It's dimensional. And what I mean by that is if you look at certain medical conditions, like acne, that's dimensional. You know, everyone has a pimple or two. Some have a lot of pimples. Some have a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And the line between someone who, you know, is a little bit troubled and who actually has a diagnosis of acne is a fuzzy line. And bipolar disorder is like that. A child can have an awful lot of it and really be in deep trouble, or they can have just a modest amount. And so it's not a categorical thing. It's not like, oh, for example, rabies. You either have rabies or you don't. There's no one who, you know, shows up at work and says, oh, I have a little bit of rabies. You either have it or you don't. Whereas things like acne and obesity, these are dimensional. Yeah. And so when you have a dimensional condition like bipolar disorder or acne and effective treatments emerge, one of the things you see is that doctors start to diagnose it more. And so, again, to extend this analogy, when I was shortly out of medical school, some very good treatments for acne emerged. And what we saw was that diagnostic rates of acne went up considerably because kids would show up in the office, you know, sometimes for their acne, but other times for other things. And a doctor would look at this child and talk with the mom and so forth and say, you know, we have things that can be done now about this skin condition. Are you interested? And if the mom said yes, a medication was prescribed and a diagnosis of acne was entered in the medical record, whereas years before that wouldn't have happened simply because effective treatments weren't available. And so the analogous thing has happened with bipolar disorder.
Yeah. I need to jump in for a moment. We are going to check weather, and then we'll continue talking about bipolar disorder in children and adolescents especially, following a recent study that's been in the news indicating a 40-fold increase in the number of youngsters diagnosed with the disorder from 1994 to 2003. Our guest is explaining the condition and this study. He is Dr. Hugh Johnston, a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at UW-Madison. He's also the author of a forthcoming book, How to Love, Raise, and Educate Your Child with Bipolar Disorder. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your questions for him. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, September the 6th. Coming up this afternoon during At Issue with Ben Marins after 5 o'clock, soldiers are not the only ones who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, according to Ben's guest. He talks with the author of War and the Soul about how to help soldiers, their families, and others suffering from emotional trauma. That's coming up after 5. We're talking about bipolar disorder this hour, based on a news story this week indicating that the number of young people diagnosed with bipolar disorder has been going up. Our guest is Dr. Hugh Johnston, who is a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We're talking about this study and bipolar disorder in general, especially in young people, and we welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Dr. Johnston, why don't we, before we go to the phones, and we do have listeners who have questions already, to talk a little bit about bipolar disorder. What exactly is it?
Well, this is part of the problem. The experts have quite a bit of disagreement about what it is, but I think there is universal agreement that it is, in the case of children, a situation in which the emotions are simply too big and they're too unstable. And so in these children, they have problems with becoming enraged over trivialities or becoming deeply, deeply saddened by, you know, minor problems, or getting hysterically giddy and out of control when moments are happy. And every other possible emotion that a child could have is exaggerated to the point of being really very, quite strange, to be honest with you. And this, of course, impairs the child when it comes to functioning at home and at school, and produces tremendous stress on the caregivers. Managing a child whose emotions are out of control is challenging for anybody.
Yeah, and it used to be referred to, at least in adults, as manic depressive disorder. You go up and down with these with these various moods.
Yes, that's I guess an obsolete term, but that's exactly right.
Yeah, and is it tough to diagnose this?
Well, it does require an element of expertise because children's emotions can be out of control for lots of different reasons. For example, if a child is being maltreated, you can have out-of-control emotions. Other disorders, for example, disorders in the autism spectrum, can produce emotions that are wildly out of control. And it's not difficult to spot a child, certainly, with out-of-control emotions. The difficulty comes in eliminating all the other possible causes to be sure that this is indeed what we call bipolar disorder and not something else like maltreatment.
Yeah. And does, what about kids who have attention deficit disorder or other things like that might cause, them being giddy and out of control?
Well, that's another example, although typically children with attention deficit disorder have fairly stable emotions, particularly when there isn't some adult, nagging them to sit up straight and pay attention and do this and do that. They have very short attentions. They bounce around quite a bit. But in its pure form, attention deficit disorder does not tend to produce nearly the kind of out-of-control emotions mm-hmm. that you see in bipolar disorder. Yeah. But that's a good example. Sometimes there are questions.
Yeah. And the cause of this is some sort of chemical imbalance in the brain?
Well, there's a saying, all mental disorders are caused by, problems with the brain, because when you take the brain out, the disorder goes away.
Yeah, I guess.
but we really don't have a very good idea of what causes this disorder, both in the case of children and adults. There's an important genetic component. There are perhaps things that occur during early development that may impact the outcome, but we really don't have a good handle on the causes of this.
Yeah. Mark in Romance is our first caller. Hi, Mark, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I am a psychotherapist who works primarily with adolescents, and I really feel that this whole bipolar popularity, it's the diagnosis du jour. And I have worked with adolescents now for 14 years. I have yet to come across a kid who would absolutely meet criteria for bipolar disorder. I would really urge parents, do not go gently into this diagnosis. If it's on a child's medical record, it's going to stalk them for the rest of their life. It can lead to problems getting jobs, getting insurance in the future. I would urge parents to take a look at things like cooperative co-parenting. Take a look at what is going on in the family. Do not go looking at this diagnosis as an answer to problems. I think that too many clinicians are falling for this diagnosis as kind of an easy out, and look towards systemic problems in the child's life.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of that, Dr. Johnston?
I think that's very good advice. I mean, I have to say I couldn't agree more. The only thing I would add is that it's always a caution when you give that advice, that there are parents out there who have gone through every possible avenue trying to bring the situation to some reasonable sense of control, and have over and over again failed. And certainly for those folks listening to this advice, I don't want those folks to feel guilty, having then sought psychiatric treatment and using medications, because when all else does fail, many times these medication treatments can allow the kinds of therapies that he was just talking about to actually work, and the child can get his or her life back. And so so I'm reluctant to get into this dichotomy of this is nothing but a fad, forget the whole idea, versus, you know, this is something that's wildly overlooked and should always be considered. Mm-hmm. I think the reality is in between someplace.
Yeah. Mark, are you still there?
Yes.
Why do you think that it's the diagnosis du jour, and that what sorts of, you say you see kids who have this diagnosis but they don't meet the criteria, like what?
Oh, what I'm saying is I don't see kids who do meet criteria for bipolar disorder. I think there's a very...
I know, and that's what I mean. They don't have these mood swings. They don't have, I mean, what is it that they don't have, but yet they have a diagnosis of bipolar?
Oh, you can see behavioral problems with kids, but what I'm saying is take a look at what is going on in the life of the family and the life of the child before putting a diagnosis on. It's things like ADHD in my view, grossly overdiagnosed with kids. We live in a culture right now that is causing a lot of stress for children, that is causing a lot of problems for kids in terms of their learning, their attention. I've got kids coming in who are watching or playing video games for 3, 4, 6 hours a day, and the parents are wondering why their child is depressed and listless. Take a look at the video gaming first. And I'm always amazed at how parents are looking for, they want to have a diagnosis, they want to have a pill, and all I'm saying to parents is hold off on that, address the obvious things. Is the kid getting enough sleep? Children need to be getting 8 to 9 hours of sleep per night. I've got kids coming in who are getting 4 to 5 hours of sleep, and their behavior is bizarre. Well, of course it's bizarre. They're sleep deprived. Take a look at things like nutrition.
Right. And in fact, someone I know, they were looking at nutrition and vitamin B12 and looking at thyroid and that sort of thing. Dr. Johnston, those things are important to look at first before you get a bipolar diagnosis?
Well, yes, there are a few medical things that need to be in not in every case, but in some case looked into that can mimic this. And a thyroid condition is one. There are actually a number of tumors are another. Even certain infectious diseases. We've had a number of cases of kids who have appeared with Lyme disease, and the presenting symptom was out of control emotions. And so a medical evaluation is important. The other comment I would make that's somewhat different from the caller is my experience is somewhat different, the point I'm trying to make here is that things vary tremendously from community to community and practice to practice, and what I see are parents who, you know, are really doing a very good job at controlling their kids' consumption of TV and video games, and have, you know, very organized, nurturing lifestyles and regular bedtimes and good diets. And the last thing they want is their kid on a psychiatric medication. But they've tried everything. Yeah. And, you know, at some point the question comes, do we resist the urge to put the child on medications, recognizing that this means the child won't be able to function in school? Or will perhaps get involved in the criminal justice system, or do we give these one or two of these new medications a try?
Let me hold you there. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then more questions about bipolar disorder coming up after the news. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Thursday, September the 6th. And we are talking about bipolar disorder and the results of a recent study finding the number of young people diagnosed with bipolar disorder has increased 40 times from 1994 to 2003. We are talking with a guest this hour who says the study doesn't mean that bipolar disorder is on the rise, but that doctors are recognizing it more and treating the young people more for it. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Dr. Hugh Johnston, a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at UW-Madison. He has a joint appointment in educational psychiatry. He will be part of an educational program in Madison on October 22nd at the Pyle Center on the UW-Madison campus called Bipolar Disorder in Youth. And he's also the author of a forthcoming book, How to Love, Raise, and Educate Your Child with Bipolar Disorder. And we welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Back to the phones. Tim in Exonia is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Dr. Johnson.
Good morning.
Hey, I just have a question for you. I work in the, I'm an EMT, and I've noticed that a lot of symptoms and a lot of things have been misdiagnosed.
Oh, we lost him on a cell phone. I'm very sorry, Tim, that you're out of range. You know, his question was, and I'm just going to paraphrase it for you since we lost the caller. He wondered if you think that the pharmaceutical companies have had a hand in doctors diagnosing children more with bipolar disorder.
Well, I do. And you know, I just want to gently correct something that you just said a few moments ago. That the increase in rates of diagnosis does represent, in part, increased recognition, but I also think there is a pretty extensive misdiagnosis as well. I think it's a matter of both things, and I do want to be clear about that. And yes, I think the major pharmaceutical companies that produce some of these very useful new drugs, and I'll also add quite expensive new drugs, of course, bombard the medical community with information extolling the virtues of these drugs, and also material, you know, pointing out how to recognize bipolar disorder, what bipolar might look like, and so forth. And of course, this raises everyone in the medical community's awareness, making it easier to sometimes leap to that diagnosis when it is sometimes not appropriate.
Yeah, that's right. You did say that it's not necessarily all misdiagnosis or all increased awareness. It's probably somewhere in the middle.
It's exactly. And it varies enormously from community to community.
Yeah. And that's interesting. Any theory as to why that is?
Well, I do have a theory. The real news about this is that there is an incredible shortage of child psychiatrists. Our nation is very poorly served by our medical systems, and I know there are many parents out there listening to this who, you know, struggle with, you know, trying to get their kid in to see a child psychiatrist. And it's really the child psychiatrists that have the training that's necessary. And because we have such a shortage of these individuals, they're pushed into working, I think, many times much harder than they would prefer. And so a lot of the diagnosis of this and the prescription of medications falls to generalists. And I have to take my hat off to these folks. These are pediatricians and family practice docs and so forth. And they're doing the best they can trying to, you know, manage this unmet need. But it really is not an easy task.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say there are new treatments. I'd like to talk a little bit about those because I thought I just saw an article not too long ago that was bemoaning how lithium was still the only or the main, I don't know, treatment of choice or only treatment available.
Well, lithium isn't the only treatment, but in recent years, in my view and many others, lithium has been wildly underutilized. Lithium is inexpensive. It's perhaps arguably our safest drug for the treatment of bipolar disorder, but lithium has fallen off of the patent cycle, and so there are no big drug companies promoting it, and that's probably a factor in why it's underutilized. It's also something of a medical hassle to use lithium. You have to get lots of blood levels and do a lot of tinkering, and in today's managed care world, drugs that are a medical hassle sometimes fall by the wayside, even when they're pretty good drugs.
Yeah. Let's go to Jay in Madison. Hi, Jay.
Hello there.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yes, I had a couple of questions for you as far as with it seems like bipolar may go hand in hand with OCD and ADHD. So I guess I wanted to get what your feeling was on that.
Well, yes, that you raise a very important issue. This disorder probably as little as half the time exists all by itself. The other half of the time, there's very often an additional disorder present, like ADHD, like learning disorders, like anxiety disorders. And so treating these kids can be a fairly complex affair because you're not only looking at the bipolar part of it, but one or two or sometimes even three other disorders as well. And that makes a real challenge for parents and clinicians and teachers and everyone involved with the child.
Yeah. Jay, did you have something else?
And also, as I had heard at one point that once it's in a family, there's a 20% chance after that that people are going to pick it up.
Well, I don't want to. The details of the heritability are a complex mathematical question. I'll leave it at this, that there is a tendency to see this run in families, and there's certainly a genetic component. But the details of that are pretty complicated.
Yes, my grandfather was bipolar, and then I didn't really have any problems until I was about 25.
Uh-huh.
And then I went back and forth, and I don't think I really ended up getting diagnosed completely until probably when I was 35. And so,
you know, that's pretty typical story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is.
To experience the symptoms maybe in the mid-20s, is that what you mean, Dr. Johnston?
Well, it's complex because what we're talking about in young children may or may not even be the same disorder that we talk about in adults, and so that's an important point to make. When we talk about the disorder in adults where these mood states last weeks to months, often I think the average is around 7 years that people go with symptoms before they actually get a diagnosis.
Yeah.
So that's pretty typical.
Yeah. And when we see the diagnosis in a young person, while there might be some misdiagnosing going on here, typically, I mean, I was looking at this article, and it looked like some very, very young children, 5, 6, 7, are getting this diagnosis now.
Yes, that sometimes happens, although I have to say that when you get down to that age range, this is where you sometimes really see widespread misdiagnosis. I think it can occur, but I think that's a fairly rare occurrence.
Yeah. Tim in Sparta. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my number one concern on this is, first off, the drugs. Like the your guest has said, they're new drugs. My understanding from what I've read about this and from what I've heard are that these drugs, they really haven't been around that long. They're extremely powerful, and we're basically throwing them at our kids as guinea pigs. We do not know what the long-term effects of these psychotropic drugs are going to be on our kids. And one other point is there's been studies out there that have shown that the kids and young people that are on these psychotropic drugs have an extremely higher risk of teen suicide. And I just think we have to be very cautious. We live in a society today where both parents work. When they get home, they're tired. They don't want to deal with their kids, so they medicate them. I think it's a travesty. It's sad.
Yeah. Dr. Johnston?
Well, once again, I agree with the caller, although I'm very reluctant to paint everyone with such a broad brush. I too see cases in which parents want a quick fix and don't want to be bothered with the challenges of parenting. But I also see plenty of parents who have taken a very thoughtful and methodical approach to the problems their child is having. And your caller makes a very good point that we don't know a lot about these. Many of these drugs are new, and we worry about what the impact will be on development. But at the same time, we know an awful lot about what the impact on development is when a child has totally out-of-control moods. And to be perfectly blunt, it's often encounters with the criminal justice system, ultimately, and the use of illicit drugs and all kinds of difficulties. And so, you know, we have to weigh these things carefully. And I, you know, some parents, yes, are looking for a quick fix, but many other parents are doing the very best they can to give their child every opportunity that life offers.
Our guest is Dr. Hugh Johnston, Clinical Associate Professor of Psychiatry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a joint appointment in educational psychiatry. He will be part of an educational program at the Pyle Center on the UW-Madison campus on October 22nd called Bipolar Disorder in Youth. And that's what we're talking about this hour, based on a study that's been in the news this week that found the number of people diagnosed with bipolar disorder has increased 40 times in the last dozen years or so. We welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 11 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, actor and former Senator Fred Thompson made it official last night. He's in the race for the Republican nomination for president. We will talk about his candidacy and how that could affect the race coming up after 7 o'clock. We're talking with Dr. Hugh Johnston for the rest of this hour, and we will get to as many of your calls as we can on bipolar disorder and bipolar disorder in young people, especially. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Rich in Neosho is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. This is a subject dear to my heart. I am bipolar, classified as unipolar, but I have taken lithium for 10 years, and it has stabilized me along with another drug called Klonopin. And I can assure you that if I had this when I was in my youth, but it wasn't diagnosed until I was 46. There's a lot of people out there not diagnosed. And the doctor is right. You have to kind of tailor the medicine to yourself, as everybody is different. And I was lucky. I only have to see my doctor twice a year, so I'm very stabilized with this.
Thank you very much, Rich, for the call. And Dr. Johnston, can you explain what unipolar is?
Well, unipolar refers to depression. And people with bipolar disorder, adults, certainly have periods of profoundly deep depression, periods of an excessively elevated mood that we call mania, where their judgment is bad, and then periods of a normal mood. And many of these people go for many years diagnosed with depression or not diagnosed at all. When they're misdiagnosed or not diagnosed, the treatments are typically ineffective. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that gentleman struggled for many years before he was appropriately diagnosed.
Yeah, that must have been quite a struggle for him and his family. This really does upend families, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, this disorder is responsible for a great deal of suffering and disruption, and can literally blow families apart from one another.
Yeah. David in Oshkosh is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to some extent, disagree with the doctor about psychiatrists being the best in diagnosing. I'm not sure that he really meant to be, you know, kind of unilateral in that, but the truth is, you know, I do a lot of psychometric testing and other differential diagnosis work, and I'm just a therapist, you know, that's been trained in doing that. And I think that if families sought out therapy, or if psychiatrist said, you know what, yeah, I do see something here, see us for a month, come back, see me, and then we'll look at diagnosis or medication or other options, and then discussed with that therapist before the appointment, you know, what they saw, if they were seeing, you know, some of the diagnostic criteria for bipolar, or if they thought there was something else. That we might not see such high rates of diagnosis, but also the high rates could be an artifact of the fact that we simply have a higher population of children seeing psychiatric treatment.
Dr. Johnston.
Well, yes, I have to apologize. I didn't mean to engage in professional grandiosity. many psychologists are very well trained to diagnose this disorder. When I mentioned that child psychiatrists are in great short supply, what I'm talking about here is within the medical community of physicians. The child psychiatrists are the folks who are best trained within that medical community, and the child psychiatrists are trained to make this diagnosis, as are many, but not all, child psychologists. The difference is that child psychiatrists do have the capacity to prescribe medications, whereas child psychologists have to work, either with a child psychiatrist or perhaps with a generalist like a family practice or pediatrician. And this is, again, I take my hats off to these folks who form up these teams because these pediatricians and family practice docs really are doing the best they can, but oftentimes with inadequate support.
Thank you, David, for the call. Carol in Milton, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've worked with gifted and talented children in the educational system for about 25 years, and one thing that I've learned is that a normal profile for a gifted and talented child might look like bipolar, quite high, quite low, and yet be something that is just part of who they are as an individual and something that they may need to learn to deal with in a variety of ways. I always felt that many times they understand things intellectually that they can't deal with emotionally, and I wanted your thoughts on that.
Well, it's certainly true that bipolar disorder happens to kids at all levels of intelligence, mm-hmm. and so you can see children who have this disorder who are brilliantly intelligent children, and children who are not so brilliant, and so the disorder really doesn't discriminate between bright kids and not so bright kids. It's also true that very bright kids are often quite bored in a school environment, especially if there isn't programming for their intellectual capabilities. And a bored kid is a kid who's going to potentially cause some problems. But the fact that a kid is bright certainly doesn't mean they're at any increased risk for bipolar disorder.
Yeah, thank you, Carol. Sue in Janesville. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm interested in the difficulty of diagnosing teenagers in particular. I have a challenging teenager who it's been suggested it's either bipolar or personality disorder. And I find the difficulty is what's normal teen behavior and what's really a pathology.
Well, that's a challenge, and there's no easy answer. There's no substitute for working with someone who has a breadth and depth of clinical experience. It's not something that you can distill down into, a set of criteria or a cookbook. There is an art to medicine, and this is really part of the art, is being able to look at someone and make those kinds of decisions. It's also true, again, I mentioned this earlier, that this is dimensional, and to present it as an either-or question is perhaps unwise. It is possible that a child could have, a teenager could have a modest amount of this bipolar diagnosis, a modest amount of personality disorder, and be also just simply an energetic teen. So all three could be at work at the same time.
And Keith in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I think all the things that you're talking about with the difficulty working with the family when you're dealing with a child like this is extremely true. I know we started with my daughter when she was the age of 4, trying to find what we could do for her to level out the mood swings and extreme issues that we were seeing. We went from having a diagnosis of ADHD through to, we ran the gamut, and the people were very reluctant to try and diagnose a child, at the age of 5 and 6 as being bipolar, and when they finally did make that diagnosis, put her on lithium, the behaviors and the whole attitude, it was just like night and day. And it almost was a miracle drug for our family anyway, and my daughter.
Wow, there's a testimonial, Dr. Johnston.
Well, you know, those wonderful stories do happen, and that's one of the things that, that keeps us going, because, you know, many times you have the experience of essentially giving a child his or her life back, and you know, that's about as uplifting a thing as you can ever do.
Boy, with a tremendous amount of interest in this topic, Dr. Johnston. I hope you'll come back to talk with us sometime, maybe when your book is released. Is that coming out soon?
Well, you know, we don't have a particular date, and I have a lot on my plate, but it's coming along nicely.
Yeah.
It certainly is, and if people are interested, I can leave some information with your producer about how to reach us.
Sure, and is the educational program at the Pyle Center open to the public or for professionals?
Well, it is open to the public, and there is a number they can call.
Sure.
It's 800-442-4617.
4617. Thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Dr. Hugh Johnston, Clinical Associate Professor of Psychiatry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, part of an educational program at the Pyle Center on the UW-Madison campus on October 22nd called Bipolar Disorder in Youth. Thanks very much to Karen Prager for producing this hour, and thank you for listening and for calling in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.